Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Barb Tobias with the Trash Talk Show. Every radio show, we have an awesome chance to hear ideas, new experiences from authors, speakers, people around the world, and regular folks like you and me. But the thing is today we have an awesome guest, and you're going to be so excited to listen to what this guy has to say. His name is Ken Solan. He is an author. He is a columnist. He wrote for the Huffington Post, still writes for them, AARP. He has written for various people along the line, and he is a dating coach. Now, check this out, a dating coach for boomers. How cool is that? Now, you can contact Ken most effectively through his website. It's www.kensolan.com. Now, the reason that I talk about this before Ken even gets on the line is because that's the main source of over 100 blogs. He has videos on there about dating. This is a site that you're going to want to see. Whether you're a guy or a gal, it's going to be something that's going to be very, very interesting for you. So, with no further ado, let's introduce our guest. Hello, Ken.
Good morning.
How are you?
Real good, thank you. Appreciate you know, having me on the program.
Well, thank you. You know, I am so excited about this interview because I'm interested. You know, I'm a boomer. I want to know what's going on. And, you know, all of us are kind of stymied by the opposite sex. What are they like? What do they do? How do we do it? Are we good enough? Are we bad enough? all of those different things. I mean, you know, everyone has these ideas. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's your analogy, are we good enough or bad enough? I think that's funny because sometimes they're the same.
Well, you wrote the book, and catch this, folks, The Boomer Guide to Finding True Love Online. Now, Ken is an expert on this, and like I said, you know, he was a dating coach. So let's start at the beginning, Ken, and then we'll get up to your book. But how did this all start?
Well, I think that, you know, I've been dating for a while. I was dating for a while, probably on and off between relationships for about a decade. And I just wasn't getting it right. And I started to talk with other guys my age, boomers, who were also getting it right. And I realized that what was missing for me was a willingness to be open, to be open-hearted, to be emotionally honest with women, and to...
Okay. Let me stop you there because you hit such an important part. To be willing to be open, and so much of us aren't, and especially boomers, because heck, we've lived our lives for 50 some years, whatever that is, and we know, been there, done that type of thing, and we are more resistant to change than the young folks. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think the 20-somethings and 30-somethings are light years ahead of boomers in so many ways, you know, whether it's about gender preference, whether it's about race, whatever it is. I think there's so much more. You know, I think we did a good job raising our kids to be those people. Unfortunately, we didn't take our own advice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, consequently, you know, change is tough. No matter what kind of change it is, change is tough. And, well, you know, I've been this way for 50 years. I'm not going to change. Well, but you had an open mind.
Well, I think I had to because I realized that if I was ever going to meet somebody and have a real relationship, there was no way to accomplish that without being willing to be vulnerable, to be emotionally honest. You know, I wrote an article a year ago for the Huffington Post about why men need to be emotionally honest with women. And it got over 2,000 comments overnight, which is kind of a rock star number.
Course,
I'm not a rock star, but the topic just lit a firestorm. And 1,000 women, literally it was down the middle, 1,000 women said, yes, of course, we want men to be emotionally honest. And 1,000 men, almost to the man, said, what are you, crazy? You can't be honest with women. And there it was, you know, I realized, wow, you know, this is a huge rift. How do we close that gap? And that's when I decided to start working on my book, was to figure out how to bring boomer men and women back together again. We used to be
well. That's interesting. So let's stay on that point for just a minute. So if the men said, "Wait, you know, you can't be emotionally honest with women," really, where are they getting that information?
Well, you know, all their reasons, and it was fascinating to me. All their reasons were fear-based, because they'd say, "Well, if I'm emotionally honest with a woman, she'll abuse me, she'll ridicule me, she won't respect me, she'll dump me." So it was all fear-based. And then I realized by some of their responses that women also have a responsibility. If a man is willing to be open-hearted and share his feelings, a woman has to understand that a man's feelings, and hers as well, are their absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
You can't express an opinion about someone's feelings, and you can't judge someone's feelings either. You can say, well, gee, you know, that makes me feel, you know, insecure, sad, whatever. But if you ask a man how he's feeling about you or the relationship and he tells you his truth, just because you don't like his answer doesn't mean you can jump down his throat. Now, a lot of these men expressed their fear based on having had that experience. So, you know,
okay.
It's a push-shove kind of thing. I think both men and women have a responsibility. And, of course, men have the same responsibility when women express their feelings.
Do you think sometimes that women, when men do open up emotionally and they are emotionally honest, do you think women view this as weakness?
No, and it's amazing to me how many men believe they do. And does that mean no woman does? Well, I'm sure some women do. But I have to say, in all the years that I dated, in the relationships I was in, when I did manage to be somewhat open, I only had, I think, one bad experience. And, you know, that kind of ended the relationship. But still, you know, that was one out of many, many relationships and women. So I don't think this happens frequently. But for a guy, it only has to happen once.
Yeah.
Because it's so hard for men to do this anyway, especially boomer guys who have little history doing this. It only has to happen once, and to make a man reluctant to ever do it again.
Mm-hmm. And of course, then that is the beginning of the deterioration of the relationship.
It is, and you know, it's interesting. I had lunch with John Gray, you know, the Mars Venus author.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about vulnerability and sharing, and also Brené Brown, who's an expert on the vulnerability aspect of relationships. And everybody agrees that the big mistake that boomer men and women might make is oversharing in the beginning. While it is important to be able to share your feelings on a first date or a second or third or I don't know how many dates, you want to let it go slowly. I mean, if somebody on a first date just, you know, unloads their whole emotional package on you, it's like, oh, wow, it's overwhelming. So it's something that needs to be done on a measured basis.
Okay, so we've kind of gotten into the a little bit about the difference between men and women. A lot of it, you know, from your own experience, but a lot from your readers at Huffington Post and whatever. What would you say, then, are the next critical steps in terms of that relationship?
Well, I think there's a misconception among a lot of boomer men that if a relationship moves into the friend zone, you know, that's the end of sex and passion. And, in fact, the best long-term relationships that are passionate, sexual, hot, are also best friendships. And I have to admit, this is a lesson that it took me a while to learn. I met my partner online a little over 2 years ago, and she and I, which has only made the sexual aspect of our relationship even better. So I think there's this misconception that men have about women being able to be best friends in a relationship. And women have decades of experience in their long-term friendships with other women. I don't think I ever met a boomer woman who didn't have just a whole slew of best friends that she'd known for decades. Well, having those kinds of friendships takes skills, relationship skills, and they develop these skills really well. Men, for the most part, don't have friendships anywhere near that level, and so they lack those skills, and I think that's a big conflict when a woman says, you know, let's meet, let's get to know each other, and let's be friends. You know, too many boomer guys, you know, hear that and say, oh, you mean you don't want to have sex? No, boomer women do want to have sex, but they'd like to know you on an emotional level, at least on some basis first.
Absolutely. I can agree with that. Do you think that our media, our movie arena, even our songs, because it's so infiltrated with sex, do you think that it's really sending the wrong message, not just to our young people, because personally I felt that for a long time, but, you know, to our boomer people?
I think that there's a lot of there's too many films with guys who are boomers, 50, 60, 70, you know, with 30-year-old women. And I mm-hmm. think I was on the Today Show a little over a year ago, and we talked about, it was for AARP, talking about age-appropriate dating. And I always dated women who were close to my age, if not even a few years older. And there's such great joy in boomer women. I'm a huge fan of boomer women. I couldn't imagine dating younger women. And I think for boomer women, what I hear from my single boomer women friends and from my date coaching clients, they're all boomer women, is that, you know, guys my age want to date women 20 years younger. And the media does keep that going. In movies and television shows, and it just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, celebrities, there's always some 65 or 70 year old guy with a 25 year old woman. I mean, please spare me. You know, don't. I know she's just crazy about you, and it's got nothing to do with the fact that you're rich and famous. I mean, it's just crazy. And the other part of this is that a lot of boomer guys are divorced and had kids. You know, so if they're with a younger woman, all of a sudden it's a second family. Well, I wrote an article about this from the Huffington Post not too long ago. Women should be very careful about boomer guys remarrying because boomer men's second marriages end in 60-something percent divorce, and their third is in the 70s. So boomer guys have a tendency to drag that baggage from the first marriage into the second, into the third. So if a woman wants to marry a boomer guy who's divorced, she ought to find out if he's done any kind of personal growth work at all.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions I always suggest.
You know, you mentioned, Ken, that that was, you know, boomer men, but is that true with boomer women as well?
In what regard?
In dragging all the baggage into the next relationship.
No, I don't think so, because I think boomer women talk to their women friends about their past relationships and or their current relationships. You know, they're getting their stuff out all the time, so they're getting feedback from those women.
I see.
Men aren't getting feedback from anyone. You know, they just keep carrying this stuff in their heads, thinking that, you know, it's like living in a vacuum, and nothing really survives very well in a vacuum. But men live in an emotional vacuum because they don't talk about, you know, a guy will have a relationship, maybe he gets dumped or betrayed, whatever it is, his
mm-hmm.
heart's broken, and 20 minutes later, he's online looking for dates again. No, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. Your next woman's job isn't to make you feel better about your last relationship. So, you know, you got to come into a relationship equal to the task and equal to where, you know, men and women have to be kind of on the same page emotionally. And, you know, that's a problem for a lot of people.
Absolutely, absolutely. I agree. And let's take a quick not break here, but just a pause for a moment, because I could go on for hours with you. This is so interesting. But Ken's new book, it's Ken Solon, and his new book is The Boomer Guide to Finding True Love Online. And as I said in the top of the show, that Ken is a columnist. He writes for the Huffington Post, AARP. He's been on a variety of talk shows, radio and television. This guy is just incredible and interesting. So make sure you go to his website and check out some of his blogs and some of his videos. And you can also order his book online. But his website is www.kensolon.com. And that's www.kensolin.com. And he's got just a wealth of information on that site as well. So we've got Ken for about 7 more minutes here. So I've got so many questions, Ken. But I'm going to let you take the lead for just a moment, because I know there's really important things that you want to get across in terms of your book and what it is that you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, in the 60s and early 70s, when boomers were, you know, most of us were in school or young at least, then we were friends. Boomer men and women were friends. We had sex, and it wasn't necessarily meaningful or emotionally connected, but we were friends. And I think partially it's because of, you know, half of us got divorced. In fact, we're the largest percentage of divorces today. And I think that all those divorces created a lot of bitterness between men and women. And I think that, you know, men say boomer women are bitter and angry. Well, you know, I dated for years. I never met one bitter, angry woman.
What is that? We get the bad rap on that side, don't we?
And I always say to these guys, no, I think it's your ex-wife who's bitter and angry, and you know, so are you, for that matter, and about your divorce. And I think that's problematic. And boomer women say boomer guys are emotionally brain dead. You know, they haven't got a clue. And I think everybody needs to step back a minute and say, wait a minute. You know, when you meet somebody on a coffee date, for instance, you know, you don't know this person. So stop projecting everything you ever felt about anyone who is you ever dated onto this person sitting across from you in a coffee shop. You know, this is a brand new person. If you can't see that person as an individual who you don't know anything about, you're going to fail. The date's not going to work, and it's going to be a failure, because you're not ever going to get to know who that person is.
You know, I think you're right. It's kind of like, you know, come to the party with a clean house.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, you know, you're going to be, you know, hiding things and stuff's in closets and it's going to fall out, the old skeleton in the closet type of thing.
Mm.
And it's that whole concept of, you know, come to the party with a clean mind.
I agree. I always suggest that people go on a first date thinking on a worst case basis, maybe I'll make a new friend. You know, I dated a couple of women who, you know, neither of us felt it was, you know, a real spark for a relationship, but we definitely wanted to be friends, and I've remained friends with several women I went out with. So, you know, on a worst-case basis, your coffee date could be a new friend, and
mm-hmm.
I think that's not a... I mean, if you treat somebody as if they have the potential to be a friend, they can also be a lover.
You know, that's so true. You know, we've got, we're running out of time. I have so many questions to ask you. Are there any things that you would tell our listeners to beware of?
I think so. I think one of the most important questions that you can ask a new person you're dating is, you know, tell me about your last relationship. You know, what'd you learn? You know, what happened? You know, you don't want the gory details, but, you know, what did you learn? You know, what
mm-hmm.
was the lesson from that failure? Did you glean any lessons? And, you know, somebody who could say, well, no, I didn't learn anything. Well, I'd say they weren't paying attention. I think
yeah.
that's important. And I think the other question I think that's critical to ask on a first date is, what's been your growth path? How have you evolved? as a man or a woman over the years? You know, are you the same person you were 30 or 40 years ago? Hopefully not. But if you are, you know, probably we have nothing to talk about. But if you're not, how'd you get to this place? You know, tell me about your path. And I think that's really important, whether it was individual therapy, group therapy, reading books, workshops, lectures, magazine articles, newspaper articles. You know, have you done anything at all to show that you have an interest in becoming a more evolved human being?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important.
Do you think that gets a little dicey or edgy? And, you know, they may think that you're prying too much?
You know, no one ever took it that way when I asked it. And, of course, when you ask these questions, you have to be prepared to have them turned around on you, so that,
yeah,
which is always okay with me. No, and I think that you don't want to find, you know, most people find out what skill levels, relationship skill levels, their partner, their new whatever, has when they have their first major argument. Because if it becomes a circular argument, you know, I think that this, and I think you, and I think you. If it's a thinking argument, it's just an opinion. Nothing gets resolved unless two people can talk about, look, here's how I'm feeling. You know, you said something, and here's what it made me feel like. If you can't do that in a relationship, you're doomed. Relationships don't ever survive unless both people have some ability to talk about their feelings together in a moment of anger.
Well, would you agree, Ken, that most people probably really don't know how to fight well?
Oh, yeah, which is why it always comes down to, I think you're a jerk. Well, I think you're wrong. I think, you know, every time you use the word think, it's your opinion. And
yeah,
it doesn't mean you can almost be sure the other person's going to say, well, I don't agree.
Yeah.
If you really want to resolve something with somebody, you have to say, you know, you said you thought I was whatever, and here's how that made me feel. Is
mm-hmm.
that what you meant? Was that your intention? And that's how things get resolved. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, my partner and I, it's interesting because she's a therapist and I've done this work for
there you go.
25 years with men. And we still, you know, her therapy practice and all my work for 25 years with men, because I counsel men too, sometimes it all falls away, you know, in the heat of the moment. And then we have to back up and say, wait a minute, come on. You know, let's talk about how we're feeling. And all of a sudden, the tone changes, the level of vitriol, you know, changes, everything changes. And
yeah, it's visceral, isn't it? It's that change that all of a sudden, you know, the anger dissipates. It's just like, you know, goes away. And all of a sudden you have this love connection that comes out.
I think I think people shouldn't be afraid to ask that question on a first date. You know, what's your path? You know, who are you, and how'd you become this person? If you're afraid to ask that, you're doomed. I mean, you're never going to succeed. So it takes a certain amount of courage to date.
But, you know, I love that. I love that, Ken. Make sure you use that. It takes a certain amount of courage to date.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. And unfortunately, with that, we have got to break here. Ken, would you be willing to come back? Because I have so many more questions for you.
Oh, I'd love to.
Wonderful. We're going to do that. And folks out there, just again, because you've got to go to this guy's website. I mean, he is a wealth of information on dating, specifically for boomers. But you know what? It really involves everyone. And that website is www.kensolon.com. His new book out is The Boomer Guide to Finding True Love Online. And with that, Ken, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Barb. Thanks very much for having me.
You got it. This is Barb Tobias, and you are listening to The Trash Talk Show.